If you would please turn with me this morning in the Word of God to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8, we want to look this morning in the Word of God beginning with verse 21. And I want to read down through verse 30. As we continue our exposition of John's Gospel, we are in what you could call the concluding section of the Light of the World discourse. And let us look at verse 21, and we see here the Lord Jesus. It says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And then notice verse 30. It says, As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Father, we would seek as our singular priority, as we come to your word, that we would come into a very real awareness of who Jesus Christ, our Savior, is. Father, as we come to your word today, we have again another episode, another testimony, another account of your Son, of his ministry, of his precious and enduring words read in our hearing today. Father, I pray that the truths found in these words would come to our hearts and that they would find our hearts eager, willing, submissive, and humble. Father, as we consider the truth about this very critical issue of believing in Christ, Lord, if there is someone here today who has not put their faith in Jesus Christ, someone who has not put their trust in Him alone, Lord, that they would come to find Christ for all that He is, and that they would run to Him and embrace Him and put their truth, their confidence, and all of their assurance in Him and in His finished work. We ask you, Father, that you would add to your church, that you would bless your people, and Father, that you would challenge us in our faith. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this section of the Word of God this morning, we are coming to this, as I said a moment ago, this concluding section of the Light of the World discourse. You will recall back up in verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ had made that second great I Am statement. He declared, I am the light of the world. These words were words, I'm sure, that sunk in and that penetrated in the hearer's ears as he made this declaration of his own identity and deity in their midst. Of course, as Jesus declared these great truths, the crowds responded in various ways. Some of them looked suspiciously. They had no desire to follow Jesus. They had no desire to trust in Jesus. They were only there to entrap Him, only there to come up with evidence against Him, because their hearts were settled with hatred and opposition to Him personally and to the message which He preached. Others, thanks be to God, were open to His message. And as we read the text this morning, we came to verse 30, to that very encouraging response that there were many in the midst of this hostility, in the midst of this opposition, who nevertheless trusted in Jesus Christ. If you would, please, let's look at the text and let us look at it just verse by verse this morning, allowing the Word of God to speak. Look, if you will, at verse 21. Jesus gives in verse 21 what I am calling a solemn warning. Then said Jesus again unto them, He says, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Here Jesus again reminds these hearers of His soon departure. And in that announcement of His departure were very solemn, serious, striking words of their impending doom and danger. He says, I am going to be leaving. You will be seeking after me, but you will not be able to find me. Jesus, of course, as He continues in His teaching, we find here that many of His earlier themes and the main threads of what He has already been saying repeatedly, He again repeats again. We would note from the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that old truths need to be repeated in the hearer's ears. Amen? Jesus certainly did that. As you read His discourses over and again, there were certain central themes which were repeated, restated, and declared again, often to the very same people He had said it before. And Jesus here says, I am going to go. Notice, if you will, back over in chapter 7, if you'll turn back just a page or two, note He says this in chapter 7. He says in chapter 7, verses 33 and 34, He then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Almost exactly, certainly a paraphrase of what we see in chapter 8. Now, if you will, look over in the future, we will see in chapter 13. Look over in chapter 13. And I want you to note in chapter 13, Jesus makes this announcement again. John chapter 13 and verse 33. He says, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. And then, if you will, over in chapter 16, just another page or two over in your Bibles, we will note this theme as Jesus states it again in John chapter 16 in verse 28. He says, I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus here is building something, as it were, of a crescendo in His teaching. Over and over again, Jesus was announcing His soon departure. Now, obviously, his hearers, they wanted nothing more than Jesus' departure. But the difference is that they thought they could somehow seize Jesus on their time, in their schedule, according to their desires, to fulfill their wishes. And if you'll note back in chapter 8, verse 21, the phrase that Jesus used, he says, "I go my way." It was a statement by the Lord Jesus Christ that they would not seize him, they would not take him, but that he was on the sovereign schedule of God, and that God was orchestrating every detail of the events of his ministry. The Word of God declares that Jesus Christ, he laid down his life. No one took his life. He laid it down for his people. And so we see here Jesus here, he is uniquely aware of God's divine timing. He is aware of their wicked intentions. And yet he makes this statement of their eventual doom as he says, "You will seek me and you will die in your sins." Congregation, there is not a sadder statement found in the Word of God than for someone to die in their sins. And Jesus says, this is what will happen. You cannot go where I am going. You cannot go where I have come from. And you will die in your sins. Look at verse 22 at their very flippant response. "Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, where I go, ye cannot come." Jesus making these very stern, serious, eternal statements about their destination and his design and his purpose. And their response was nothing less than arrogance and mockery. Congregation, this surely shows us the depths of the depravity of the human heart. Amen. Here they were looking at the Son of God, and their response was one of mockery and arrogance and one of absolute dense understanding of his purpose. Look at verse 23. Jesus makes a very striking contrast. He said unto them, "Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." Congregation, this really was the central issue in this whole situation. Jesus says, "You are earthly. I am heavenly. Everything about me is that I have come from the Father and I am going back to the Father. You do not understand me. You do not grasp me. You are mocking me because you do not know my Father." Jesus declared earlier that if you knew my Father, you would know me. And if you knew me, you would know my Father who sent me. And yet they did not understand because they were of this world. He says, "Ye are from beneath. I am from above." Jesus was making the statement about not only his origin, but about his own aims and his own affections. He says, "Your desires, your aims, your goals, it is not for the kingdom of God. It is not for the things of God. Your only concern is to somehow secure your own religious place." Indeed, the very tension of this conflict would lead up to that night in that secret meeting in the house of Annas and Caiaphas, Joseph Caiaphas, where the high priest would say, "We need to do something. It is expedient that this man die." The religious leaders of the nation, unconcerned about truth, unconcerned about the ways of God, unconcerned about whether Jesus was the Messiah, only concerned for their place, their power, and their own prestige. Congregation, this should remind us how religion can blind men and women. Amen? They looked at Jesus. They were fully aware of the miracles and the great acts of Jesus. And they mocked him. And with arrogance, they showed their fundamental difference with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world." Look at verse 24. Jesus here, as he continues, he makes a very clear imperative. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Congregation, do you see something of repetition in the words of Jesus? Already we noted up earlier in the passage in verse 21, Jesus saying, ye shall die in your sins. And now again in verse 24, Jesus says, ye shall die in your sins. And then again, a third time, Jesus says, ye shall die in your sins. This congregation is the fatal, eternal sin of mankind. And the very sin they were guilty of. They would not believe in Jesus Christ. For, look at verse 24, if ye believe not that I am He. Actually, technically, if you'll look at verse 24, some of your Bibles may actually note this in the text. The pronoun He, how many of your Bibles have there that that's in italics? How many of you have it? Most of you do. Good many of you do. Actually, that is inserted, that is added by the translators. It is implied by the language, but it is not found in the actual language of the text. But Jesus actually said, for if ye believe not that I am. This is certainly an implicit claim again to deity. It is not, as we would say, an official I am statement. But certainly it rung in their ears with all of that same potency and reality. Jesus says, if ye believe not that I am what? I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Jesus here makes this very serious statement, declaring their essential condition. He says, you do not believe in me. Congregation, we want to make the gospel absolutely clear at First Baptist Church. Amen? And the gospel and the claims of the gospel are very simple. And they are very clear. The claims of the gospel is that sinners must believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the message of the gospel. You must, as an individual, whoever you may be, from wherever you may have come, in whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you must acknowledge Jesus Christ for all that He is. You must acknowledge that He is no one less than the second member of the eternal Godhead. You must acknowledge that He is the Son of God who came down out of heaven out of eternity into time, into history, into this world. You must acknowledge that He lived a perfect sinless life, that He died on Calvary's cross, that His death was a sacrificial death. As Jesus Himself said, I have come to save my people from their sins. You must acknowledge that Jesus Christ, He was crucified. He was buried. He arose on the third day. He ascended back up into heaven. And He is coming again just as surely as He came the first time. And this, my dear friend, is what you must believe. You must trust in Jesus Christ. You must acknowledge these truths about Jesus Christ. You must not only acknowledge these things as a historical reality, but you must put your faith and your confidence and all of your assurance in Him for your salvation. My dear friend, if you have not done that, you have not obeyed the gospel. The gospel message is trust in Christ. Believe in Christ. Put your confidence in Christ. Christ plus nothing. Christ alone for your salvation. And congregation, this truth about belief, it is found throughout this gospel. From the very first chapter, turn back to chapter 1. And note that this is a central theme in this gospel, believing in Christ. John chapter 1. Note, if you will, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "But as many as received him, to him gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them," what, congregation? "That believe on his name." The emphasis from the very first chapter, wrapped up in the very identity of Christ, is that you must believe in Christ. Look over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, Jesus, as he speaks to the great theologian Nicodemus, what does he say to him? Speaking about being born from above, he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," what? "Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look at verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then look down in verse 36. He says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Look over in chapter 5. In chapter 5, in verse 24, again, this central issue of belief. John 5, in verse 24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," and what, congregation? "And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Then, if you will, over in chapter 6. Chapter 6 in verse 35, here we have this great statement of "I am," the first "I am" statement. Jesus said, John 6:35, "Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And then, of course, chapter 7, as we see this theme continuing throughout the gospel account, we note in John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Congregation, do you pick up on a theme here in the gospel of John? It is a very simple, straightforward, clear statement of gospel obligation. It says that you and I must what? We must believe. We must trust. We must put our faith in Jesus Christ. All that He is, all that He has done, in Him alone for our salvation. Jesus declares here in chapter 8, again, to a similar audience. He says, "If ye believe not, ye shall die in your sins." Now, if you will, look at verses 25 and 26. We note here an imposing question they made. "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." Here Jesus declares again in their hearing that they need to receive the message he has proclaimed from the very beginning. They said, "Well, who are you? We're to believe in you. Who are you?" He had already said, "I am the light of the world." He had already said, "I am the bread of life." He had already declared who He was and for what intention He had come. And Jesus says, "You must receive and believe that message and my person as I have consistently declared from the very beginning of my coming." Look at verse 27. Verse 27, "They understood not that He spake unto them of the Father. They were totally in the dark. They did not understand His message, nor His Father who sent Him. Verses 28 and 29, we have what I am calling a terrifying prediction. In these verses, Jesus makes a prediction. He says, there is going to come a time when you will understand. There will be in the future a day of illumination for you. Your eyes will be opened. You will come to a terrifying realization. But it will be too late. Look at verse 28. Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Jesus says, there is coming a day when my identity will be known. He says, when I am lifted up. Congregation, to what is He referring to? He is referring to His crucifixion. He says, there is coming a day when you will be aware of my identity. You will understand my unity with the Father. You will come to some awareness of the priority I have in this ministry presently, seeking always to do the things that please Him. Now you do not understand. Now you do not see because you do not believe. You do not trust. You have not come to embrace me. But you will understand in a coming day. Verse 30, as we conclude the passage that we're looking at, we note here that there was a hopeful response to the words of Jesus. Jesus had spoken words that were stern in this passage. Words that were threatening. Words which were alarming. Words which declared the doom of His hearers. And the response, it says in verse 30, it says, and as He spake these words, many believed on Him. We are not told who they were. We are not told all the circumstances that issued forth from this belief. But we are told that when Jesus declared these truths, many believed. Congregation, it is the same today as it was then. Amen? There are those today, when they hear the message of the gospel, who believe, who put their faith in Christ, who receive Him and trust in Him by God's grace. And there are others who do not. And they will at some point understand. But to those who believe, they receive Christ and they have the salvation He provides. Congregation, this passage, it certainly tells us what we must do. Amen? What must we do? Believe. It tells us the one in whom we must believe, Jesus Christ and Him alone. And it tells us the tragic consequences of those who don't believe. They will die in their sins. Let's bow our heads, hearts before the Lord. My dear friend, today the reality of the gospel is that even this very hour, as the gospel message has gone forth, some will believe and some will ultimately reject and die in their sins. Father, as we come to You and as we consider this very clear, straightforward presentation of the claims of the gospel, of our response to Your Son, Jesus Christ, We acknowledge, Father, that Your sovereign hand must open eyes to see. Your hand of grace must open ears to hear. Your moving and Your convicting must draw men to Your Son. Father, we pray that even this day You would draw sinners to believe in Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would see those who do not know Christ come to believe in Him and trust in Him alone for their salvation. We pray, O God, that the truths of the eternal destiny of the lost would settle into our hearts, that we would realize that this issue of Christ and belief and the gospel has eternal consequences. And God, may it motivate us and strengthen us to be faithful to the message and faithful to share with others that they must believe. Father, we pray for Your hand to be upon us. And we pray for Your name to be exalted among us. And we will give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.